It's a learning process. Yeah, by the way, I haven't done
video related things ever. So
ever.
That's why I have a shitty camera.
That's fine. How are you?
I'm tired. But what else is new?
Yeah, that's pretty much been your MO ever since I met you. Like,
yeah, that's
yeah,
true.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I'm gonna do my stupid little intro and then we'll start.
Cool.
You're listening to Talk Geeky, the podcast talking passion and business. Get ready to talk geeky. Here's host Jess Geeks.
Okay. Okay. So what animes are you currently watching?
I am watching like 15 different anime because this season has a lot of season twos that are like continuations.
Oh, okay.
Besides those, the ones that I'm the most interested in is Blue Lock, which is continued from last season, and then Sugar Apple Fairy Tale, which has been really fun, and then Bungo Stray Dogs, but that's a continuation.
Oh, okay. I'm like, so I recognize one of those. Yeah. I'm so out of it, because I'm like just watching, I'm literally just watching like one from this season, the campfire cooking in another world or something.
It's the longest title.
That one is, it's really good. And this character could easily be OP, but he's just like, I want to travel and eat. You know?
Yeah, that's kind of how it is with a couple others I'm watching. So I'm also watching the second season of By the Grace of the Gods, which is probably very similar to that. Good. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Okay. So to start off, tell people watching, listening, who are you and what do you do?
That is a lot, and I hate the introduction type questions.
Oh yeah, I know. I knew you would because I remembered that.
Yeah, it's fine.
First day of school. Come on.
Yeah, basically, I'm Kisa. I am a cosplayer, photographer, and the owner of a cosplay studio in Colorado. What else do you want me to?
Okay. So that's what I asked. Like, I did this. I've done like the last one I did with Tyler. That's all. You're like, you just, the way you describe yourself, you know, that's what it is.
Yeah.
So I want to ask, like, so what is your, I asked, this is the like number one thing that's going to be throughout all these interviews, is your origin story. So
okay,
what got you into the cosplay? Like, how did you get from to where you are owning a studio now? Like, you,
if we're starting from the beginning of me getting into cosplay, this is like a decade long.
Because you don't just go like straight from not having a studio to specifically a cosplay, you know what I mean?
So. Yeah. What? Because I think I saw on your list, like, how did I get into cosplay as one of them.
Let's start with that.
Yeah, so I used to go to a small science fiction convention with my dad here in Colorado when I was little. And then when I was in high school, I started getting into anime. I found out that there are conventions for more things than just that one little convention I went to. So I went with a friend of mine to NDK, which is one of the bigger anime conventions in Colorado. And I was like, wow, people dress up a lot, because that wasn't really a thing at the science fiction convention. And I was like, that looks like fun. So from there, I was like, I want to do that. So then I did. And like 8 years later, I was cosplaying a lot. I met you through cosplay, kind of. Like, we met at school, but then also you took photos of my cosplay. And then the way the studio came to be is during the pandemic, I didn't have a job. So I was cosplaying kind of full time because I was doing stuff with like Patreon and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And then I'd constantly be like, oh, I wish I could shoot in a classroom, or oh, I wish I could shoot in a library like this, or oh, I wish I could shoot in this. So I kind of said it enough times where I was like, why don't I make one? Because I had nothing going for me. It was COVID. I was sitting at home, unemployed, cosplaying all the time. I was like, what else am I going to do with my life? So I did it. I made one. It was, I think, 2021 when I officially registered the business, like the name of the business. And then I kind of started progressing from there and was like, okay, I want to open in 2022. And I want this general idea, like this much space, these sets. So I kind of just built it up from there. And then it was like finding funding, and then it was getting the space, finding the space, that kind of stuff.
Okay. As your friend and someone who's like totally jealous, how cool is it to have your own fucking studio?
It's like, is it? But it's also very stressful because anytime you take like a hobby and you make it your profession, there's always a level of like, oh, I have to do this. And like, it's not a hobby anymore. It's your profession. And especially with running a studio like this, there's a lot that goes into it that like you wouldn't necessarily think of. And just a lot that's like, I don't know. I've barely even gotten to cosplay yet at the studio.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh. I mostly focused on having my friends cosplay here to get the promo, like the promotional stuff out, because I didn't want to be the face of the studio. I didn't want it to just be me shooting in every set. So I focused very heavily on my friend shooting. And then I got surgery in November, which was like 2 months after the studio opened. So I didn't really have time to shoot before that. And I haven't cosplayed much since then. So I haven't even shot in most of the sets. I've shot in this one a couple times.
Wow. Okay. So, wait, do you have employees? How does this? No. Okay. I was like, that just popped in my head. I was like, wait, like, yeah.
Yeah, it is just me. I did have a friend who kind of substituted in. We basically traded, like she got free use of the studio for a couple of months while she was like the receptionist during like the open house when the studio was just like open. And then she was kind of here physically running the space for the couple of months when I was recovering from surgery. But besides her helping me out and a couple other people with like physically building the space, it's all been me.
Cool. Besides like, you know, building space, what was like the hardest part of, you know, getting to the studio opening?
Figuring out funding. Definitely money. That it's just one of those things where like you have to find what works for you. My method definitely would not work for other people. It was getting investments from various people and getting loans through like the help of my parents and other people around me. Which is not something everybody could do, definitely not. But that was definitely a challenge. And then, yeah, physically building the space, because I am the type of person who cannot use a drill to like put a hole in a wall. Like I literally cannot do that. So there was a lot of stuff in here that like I could not build on my own and wouldn't even try. Like these bookshelves from IKEA, I built on my own. But I had to have somebody like mount them into the wall for me, because again, I can't use a drill. So that was probably personally my biggest thing of like getting somebody to help me build stuff.
Okay. Nice. Wait, how many different sets do you have now? Because I know there's like different ones and after opening.
Yeah, so the studio is split into two floors. This floor up here where I'm currently in has 5 sets, and then the downstairs has one set that changes every 6 weeks or so. It has a room that has a bunch of like your typical paper backdrops, it has a dance space, and it has a stage. So I'd say there's like 6 sets, and then there's a couple other things like a workshop, a dance space, stuff like that.
Okay. So do you just offer, sorry, I'm getting some feedback. Maybe I'm too close. Do you just offer, just rentals of the studio space? So like what's the full breakdown of how
your business works? So there's kind of a lot because like I was saying, we have a workshop and also a dance space. So in the workshop, we offer classes. You can rent out the space if you wanted to like build a prop or work on sewing something or whatever it was you're working on. or you just wanted to use the space. Like we had somebody do a cookie decorating event around Halloween time. And then we have the dance space so people can rent that out to practice dances, film things, stuff like that. And then we do have, like, you can rent out each of the sets for general photography use. We have open house days where you can use the entire studio. And we also host meetups and events.
The workshops, do you teach any of that, or is that like other people?
Not currently, just because I have no experience with teaching, so I'm kind of like hesitant to be a teacher for it. A few of my friends in the community have been doing teaching for that.
If you,
like, sewing classes, makeup classes, wig classes, stuff like that.
Okay. If you were to teach something, what would you teach?
Probably something on either the photography side or like posing or something like that, where it's like I don't know anybody who could like teach something like that, and nobody is like, oh, I really want to teach this. Because I had like 4 people come forward and be like, I want to teach wigs. And I was like, sorry, this person claimed it first. So probably just whatever nobody else is teaching, since I have a lot of general knowledge on a lot of subjects.
Same. That's such a mood. You just kind of like everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
That always, personally, that always bugs me about myself, where I'm just like, I can't, just one thing has to be.
Yeah.
So like, you've gotten more and more into photography now. I know that because you've been posting. Yeah. You've been posting your on your photography account, which awesome photos, by the way. So being on both ends now, like, what would you like be like number one tip from both ends? I explained that weird. Okay, so if you were to give someone advice who wanted to start either like modeling, cosplay, or whatever, or being someone who, sorry, my brain's going a mile, someone who wants to start being a photographer and someone wants to start like modeling or cosplay or otherwise, like, what would that be, like, your number one tip?
Advice for somebody who wants to do
something. Advice for either person, like, okay, on either end. Yeah.
I'd say on the modeling side, the best advice I can give is to practice. I only know what I'm doing in front of a camera because I've been doing it for 8.5 years. And even then, I still, like, I haven't cosplayed in a couple of months. I get in front of the camera and I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to pose. So the best advice I can give is, one, either practice your poses ahead of time, or like get into the costume and like do a little shoot in your room with your phone, just so you kind of have an idea of like, oh, I liked this pose, or I didn't like this pose. Mm-hmm. And then also bring references to your photo shoot that you can recreate or to bounce off of. And it doesn't even have to be from like your specific costume. It could be from a different source material. It could be just somebody else's costume, just something that you saw online that stood out to you, that you're like, oh, I like how this looked, I want to do something similar. And then my advice from the photography side is probably just to have a feel for like the overall picture, because I know some people tend to focus on like, oh, what does the background look like, or oh, what does the model look like, but you kind of have to focus on both. I focus pretty heavily on like how things are being framed. And I try really hard to focus on like if the model's hair is out of place, or if something on their costume isn't sitting right, because I, as a cosplayer, go insane when I see those in the photos afterwards. So being on both sides, like, that's the biggest thing for me as like the photographer. I also try to help with the posing as much as I can, but that's a lot harder on the photographer side because every cosplayer, every model has different styles with their posing. They kind of all do their own thing.
On the note of what you said about the hair, I'm reminded of Weiss first time, the wrong side.
For the entire photo shoot. Yeah, I still am mad about that because those photos were really good. Yeah. But I can't look at them without going, the ponytail is on the wrong side. And I still hate that.
At least it wasn't really like I don't think anybody ever commented on that.
No, because people don't notice stuff like that unless it's Zuko or Todoroki, and then they do notice repeatedly, even if you tell them just because it's a TikTok and it mirrors the... Yeah, it's only that.
That's the whole joke right there, though.
Yeah.
It's on the wrong side. No, it's not.
Yeah, that is the joke, especially with Zuko.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know, keeping an eye on it.
No, I mean, that's solid. Like, what you were saying about posing, that helps a lot on the photographer's end. There's so many times where I'm taking photos of somebody and they don't know what to do, and I'm kind of like, thought you would, kind of, you know? Like,
it's also just a thing where, like, the photographer isn't necessarily going to know how to pose you, as especially with cosplay, because they might not even know your character, which as a photographer, I try to. Like, if they tell me ahead of time what they're cosplaying, I'll try to know what it is. Sometimes I already do, sometimes I don't. But I'll try to at least get a vibe of, like, what style photography, what style posing, so that I can say, oh, try this, or oh, move like this. But some models definitely go into a shoot and don't have anything planned, have never been in front of the camera, don't know what they're doing, and they expect the photographer to pose them. And I think that's really tough, because photographers are just there to take the photo, not necessarily to do the posing for you. I think that's more on the model side than the photographer side.
When that happens, like, there's some old reliables that are, like, every cosplay photo.
I call them the schoolgirl or the idol poses. That's what I default to. If I'm photographing somebody cosplaying as a man, I have nothing for you, because I don't cosplay men. I have no poses. I cannot help. I have my go-to, like schoolgirl type poses. The hand out.
Yep, that's the one. That's the old reliable right there. Yes,
definitely.
Hand out. Sorry, that's just really funny. Hold on, let me catch my brain's catching up to my mouth. I fucked up. let's see here. I'm shooting shit now. Hold on. Oh, I already asked you that. but anyways, so conventions, have you been to any recently?
The most recent convention I went to was at the beginning of November.
Okay. So I feel, I don't know if, and people that I've mentioned this to have not been able to lay down specifics, but do you feel like it's like they've changed since COVID? Cause I just like wanted to discuss that a little, cause I feel like they have somehow, like, it feels drastically different. I'm not talking like the safety stuff where some, you know, wearing masks or anything like that. It's like there's something about the vibe that's different.
I think I do know what you're talking about. I don't know if I personally noticed it that much, because I experience conventions very differently than I did before COVID, because I used to never drink and now I have friends that I'll drink with, or I didn't do certain things at a convention, or like now I don't do photo shoots at conventions. Maybe I'll do some as a photographer, but I refuse to as the cosplayer because I never like the photos. But from like the vibe of the convention and like the people there, I feel like what I've seen online and heard is that because of so many people getting into cosplay during the pandemic, none of them had been to conventions before. So there's just this movement of just like people don't necessarily know the etiquette of conventions, and the vibe is just different now because there's just a lot of people who came from TikTok and they don't know what it's like to go to conventions, and just, there's just this big wave of like new cosplayers.
Okay, that actually really helps
me. I really experienced it much, but I definitely feel like there is a shift among like the cosplayers at conventions. And that's probably why, because there's just a lot of Nero cosplayers.
Nice. That makes total sense. They got into it without having conventions to go to. Yeah, that totally makes sense.
I also know a lot of people from before the pandemic where they only cosplayed at conventions. They don't cosplay at home. They don't make content. Like, they only cosplay for conventions. Whereas nowadays, it's like everybody cosplays to make TikToks, kind of take some photos. Some people still do photo shoots, like location shoots or like things in studios like this. But it's not necessarily, I'm cosplaying for this convention. Here's my plans for the year, and it's for this convention, this convention, this convention. That's not how it is anymore. And I think that might be part of it too.
That's, yeah, I can see how that's definitely part of that. Is that me?
I did not hear whatever you heard.
I hear still like loud feedback. So I'm going to stay a little further away. Wait, side note, what do you do now that's different?
Pretty much just that I just don't do photo shoots at the convention.
That's it?
Okay. That I actually go to parties, because I used to be the type of person who would cosplay, do a whole bunch of photo shoots, and then go to my room at like 8 and pass the fuck out. Or like watch anime on my phone or something and then fall asleep. But now it's more like 2 in the morning at somebody's room party, completely drunk. And like at the convention.
See? That was fun, right?
Depends on the day, because at the convention I went to in November, we did that Friday night and it was really fun. We did a photo shoot while we were all drunk. And that, I look at those photos now and I go, wow, I don't remember any of that. Like, I remember it, but it was a weird experience for me. Especially doing a photo shoot while bat drunk. And then the next day, I just like didn't drink because I was just like not having it. And I was like, I should probably just not be here. So it's kind of like I just have to find the rhythm of it, because I'm still pretty new to like drinking and to going to parties at cons and social life. And I'm an introvert, so conventions are a lot.
Yeah, I have a friend who's a photographer. When he drinks, he like goes into this like pro mode with photography. Like, the photos he takes are fucking amazing. And you think that's, he's just like snapping away, but like beautiful. Yeah. I wish I was on that level. Like, it's like you know, like an anime, the drunk boxing thing. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. I'd say it's like that. On the note of conventions and community, so your like main headline on your website, create a safe space for cosplayers, a space made by cosplayers for cosplayers. So community is a huge thing, clearly.
Yes.
So ideally, is your studio your sort of, how do I phrase this? Okay, let's start with what does community sort of mean to you? Is that sentence pretty much wrap it up with what you have on your site, like a safe place?
Pretty much. The way that I see like the safe space is, it's a combination of like a lot of cosplayers online. Like, if you're not skinny and white and like whatever, you get hate on the internet. So my studio is meant to be a safe space for anybody. You can be any race, any like part of the LGBTQ community. Like, it does not matter. It's a safe space, and if anybody is treating you differently for whatever reason, then they're no longer allowed here. It's also meant to be like, I know a lot of cosplayers are uncomfortable cosplaying in public. And that's kind of the only way you can cosplay in Colorado when it's not a convention, is like go to a park and take photos. But then you get weird stares with people coming up to you and talking to you, and that can be really uncomfortable. So having a studio and having a space that's like out of the public eye, but it's like other cosplayers. So any interaction you're getting with people is other people who are like, oh my God, I love your costume. That's kind of what I wanted out of it.
Nice. Do you have a dream shoot, like either for yourself or taking photos of someone?
I would love to do an underwater photo shoot as the model. I don't think I could ever handle the stress of doing that as the photographer. As for like a dream shoot as the photographer, I don't no, because for me, the photography is more just like a side thing. It's not something that I like strive for in any way. It's like, I can do this. And like, I can help my friends by doing this, or I can like help other people because I have the equipment, I have the skills. It's not really something that I like go out of my way to do.
Nice. Okay.
I will say my dream set to create at the studio is an oversized like flower field. Like, you know, like there's a lot of idol cards of it where you just see like a fairy and then a giant flower.
Is it kind of similar to what was that? Make Light kind of had? You know, they had the tunnel.
But I feel like that was just a flower tunnel. I'm talking about if you see it like Renaissance festivals when people are carrying around like a gigantic dandelion or something, like a staff, but it's like a dandelion. I'm talking about that, but a whole set.
So they'd all be huge.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So it makes you look like you're like this big.
So I remember some idol cards. Some of them had them popping out of the flowers, didn't they, right?
Yeah. Or like they'll be sitting in a flower, or they're laying on top of the flowers, or they're sitting in a tree and the flowers are like huge. Yeah. That's where the inspiration came from. But that's my dream set someday when I can figure out how to make it not look terrible.
Okay. So out of the people in your life, what were the like two most inspiring that kind of helped you?
What do you mean?
Like, you know, when like you're kind of motivated, like maybe losing motivation or something, you kind of like, does anybody inspire you in any way?
Do you mean like my personal friends or just like people I see on the internet?
It could be either.
I'd say my biggest like cosplay and kind of like set inspiration is Yuka Shiro. She's a cosplayer from, I want to say, Poland. She makes her own sets constantly just in the space in her home and does a lot of photo shoots, and she edits her own photos, and her work ethic is just like really impressive. She has a full-time job but then also is constantly making new content, and her passion for it is really inspiring. Besides that, nobody necessarily comes to mind, like off the top of my head. There's a lot of people I follow, a lot of content creators. I think on like the TikTok and like video creation side, I'd say probably Bucket Brown. So just really, she's just really a fun personality. But yeah, that's kind of all that comes to my mind.
That's cool. All right, so I mean, I could go on and get like technical with like analytics and shit, but I'm not gonna get there. To market your studio, is it through? Do you mainly use Instagram and TikTok and, you know, word of mouth, or is there anything else you've kind of done?
One of the things besides those that I've tried is I'll hand out like flyers at conventions. Or I'll have like somebody who's running an artist table. One of my friends, she took a stack of them and was handing them out at one of the conventions. I've also had put up flyers at like local colleges and local businesses in the area. And done the same at like local gaming stores when we were having an event based on D&D. But that's kind of the only thing that's not social media based or word of mouth.
Okay, that's cool. That worked out well? Like,
I don't really do any kind of surveys of like what brought you in. Yeah. So I don't know where people were coming from. I think it's mostly the internet. I think that's kind of where most people find out about the studio, but it can also be a combination. Most of the times you have to see things multiple times before it like registers and you're like, oh, I should actually do that. So I think it's mostly like seeing it like multiple times through various like Instagram and Facebook and TikTok, and you went into a store and you're like, oh yeah, I saw that online, I should go there. Or like your friend starts talking about it and then you see it online, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Whether just for yourself or for your studio, your goals for the next few years, do you have any sort of vision for that? Or are you just kind of
It one day at a time, because my personal life is being engaged and having to figure that out, and then also recovering from surgery, and then I have to get a second surgery this year, So personal life wise, it's kind of chaotic. And then business wise, it's just kind of survive. Mm-hmm. Do whatever I can to make sure the business survives through all of that and can stay open. I do have things that I would love to do with the studio someday, but I have to focus on getting through each month and growing the business before I can think about those.
So let's think about those. what are some of those? Like, I'm just curious.
Some of the like wild like things that I would love to happen someday is like have multiple locations throughout Colorado, or have like, instead of it just be like one business, like have it be like almost like a mall and have a bunch of other nerdy businesses that are all a part of one big space where it's like an arcade and then there's like a like tavern themed bar and then there's like an anime merch store and like a bunch of other things all in one location.
That is a really good idea.
Yeah.
I don't know why anyone's ever like, done that.
Because you have to do it. And it's the same thing with like, why hasn't somebody done a cosplay studio? It's because nobody has the resources. Nobody wants to take that dive. Nobody wants the stress of running their own business. It's a lot. So.
Yeah.
Those are just like general things that I like considered in the future of like, if this does crazy well, it would be cool to do that, but it has to survive first. So
yeah, no, that's the important part. Let's go with that first.
Yeah.
sorry. So if somebody would is thinking of starting a business, what advice would you give them?
Like a general business, or like
let's say general, and then if it was specific to a studio.
I'd say in general, know where your finances are coming from and make sure that you have a whole year's worth of padding, like being able to pay rent, being able to pay any employees, like a whole year before you open. Because trying to, like, most businesses aren't profitable for the first 2 years. So trying to do anything without having that padding is incredibly difficult, and I would not recommend it to anybody. And then for like a studio specifically, I say keep your expectations under control. I think my biggest, not necessarily regret, but the biggest like challenge that I'm facing currently is that I had so many things that I wanted out of this studio, like the workshop and the dance space and having so many sets and having so much space, that it kind of like blew out of proportion to an extent. Like I do think I might have been able to like narrow it down to like a smaller, more manageable amount, and then in the future expanded, which is what some people told me to do in the first place. But in my brain, I was like, this is the small version. Because in my vision of like someday in the future, it has like way more sets, way more stuff.
Are you finding yourself have to slow down now, or?
Not necessarily slow down, because at this point, it's just kind of maintaining where I'm at. But I think if I had like manage the resources slightly better of like how much I invested in each set, like this set, for example, like how much money went into it, like all the different books on the shelves, because like I had no idea how many I need until it was there. And those are the types of things where like you should do the math, you should like measure the bookshelf and know how many books you're going to need for it, know how much that's going to cost, stuff like that. Don't just like wing it or guess. Kind of have to figure that out up front and know if it's worth it or not. Maybe like research a bit in your community of like what cosplay sets people are interested in, because what I thought would be the most popular was the bedroom, but the actual most popular is this library.
Really?
Library has been very popular. The bedroom too, because that gets a bit of like non-cosplay use. But this set is probably the most popular among cosplayers currently.
Have you considering doing some sets, or you know, in some way, kind of, because you mentioned you're trying to, you know, maintain, so like appealing in some way to non-cosplayers besides?
Yeah, and I already do. I tend to market to just like the general like photography, model, cosplayer space, and then also like nerdy spaces, having meetups that are just like general, and then target like photographers and models, and then also cosplayers, and then having meetups that are themed, so like a D&D themed, and then marketing towards anybody who's interested in D&D, and that's not just cosplayers or photographers. So those kinds of things. Like, for me, community isn't just cosplayers, it's also photographers and other models and anyone nerdy, and it's other small businesses in the area, because I think that they should help support each other. And I'm starting to work towards like pairing up with a couple other businesses in the area.
Have you done any kind of partnerships like that? Or
Still kind of working on it. I have done one event that had vendors. So there was like a thing where we had four different vendors and working with different artists in the area, but it wasn't necessarily the other businesses in the community. Right now I'm working on actually meeting some of the owners and talking to them and seeing if they have any ideas on things we can do for the community as a whole, and just like combined efforts.
That is so interesting you're there with that, because that's kind of where I'm going with this next. Because there's some people I know that like own like, you know, local comic shops and stuff like that. I don't know if you, because I didn't talk about it too much, but me and Tyler, I don't know if you remember him from school, we had our own like small business that we kind of call it, but like the album that never made it or something like that. I forget what we call it, because it never like fully took off. Even we were kind of alive for like 3 years, and then we kind of, you know, shut it down. But from there, one of our investors was like a local owner of one of these comic shops. So that's like one of the people that I'm going to reach out to. And, you know, it's just like future stuff I'm thinking about. So it's just kind of interesting to me that you're like, okay, same, similar.
Kinda. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, cool. So any video games you're playing?
I just play Genshin. Kind of playing Fire Emblem Engage, but that's like something I do with my fiance. I do the like maintenance in the game, and he does the fighting, but he's not really in the mood to play, so we don't play it that much. But theoretically, we are playing Fire Emblem Engage.
Nice. Still big on Yu-Gi-Oh?
Huh?
Is he still big on Yu-Gi-Oh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he even goes to a card shop every Thursday.
Nice. Because I'm definitely like bringing a deck with me when I go, whenever some point up there. Because I don't know, it's like whenever you like, I see something you share or something. I don't know, it's like anything real. I'm just like, I'm gonna play with him. It's so weird. I don't know.
I'm sure he'd be down. Yeah. He's really into it.
Nice. Okay, so going for 40 minutes.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. Like I guess that it's a learning process, so it's kind of for me. So it's kind of, so these like first ones are gonna be rough. So I gotta ask, is there anything you wanna like ask me or discuss or anything?
I am terrible at thinking of that kind of thing on the spot, so I'm gonna go with no.
Nice.
If I think of something like specifically of like, oh, I thought of this, like I can text you or something or whatever, but yeah, I don't have anything on the top of my head.
No, that's fine. Okay, so then where can people find you and like your stuff, you know, Instagram stuff?
With my whole spiel of
just put your plug yourself everywhere.
Kisakuma, so it's like this and then KU.
It'll be on the screen.
Yeah,
I'll put it in there.
Yeah, okay, like that. And then my photography page is Key Serif. And then the business is The Cosplay Atelier. And that's in social media.
So thank you for saying the name, because I said the name the whole time, because I was like, I'm going to fuck it up.
You could have asked at the start when you asked about my name.
Yeah, but like my brain does things the hard way, you know that.
That's fair. Yeah, it is the Cosplay Atelier. It's a French word that means studio and workshop, because that's what this is. It's a studio and a workshop.
Perfect. Yeah. Nice. I mean, that's it for me. Now I'm just shooting shit. I don't know if you want to talk about anything, but or you got to go.
I'm just chilling at the studio. So I don't have anything to do. I think I was messaging Courtney right before this. Now I feel bad because I haven't responded, but it's fine.
I'm super jealous of her because she's in Japan. Yeah.
Yeah, she's going to Korea. Next month.
Nice. Wait, like visiting just?
Yeah. They're visiting South Korea next month.
Yeah, but I saw her post. She posted like photos of the like cherry blossoms and stuff, and I was like,
She was messaging me about them, which was really funny because she was complaining that they were too far away. That there was like one or two in her area, but like if you wanted a lot, you had to like drive for like 2 hours or something. And I was like, Courtney, I don't have any. Yeah. There's nothing here. Cherry blossoms don't exist in Colorado.
Yeah, that's 2 hours. She used to go to like LA for and shit all the time.
I was like, that's literally the drive from where she used to live to LA, which we would do all the time. But
that's super funny.
Yeah.
There's also a part of me that wants to like ask her to buy certain things sometimes and send them to me, but like I know I'd get annoying with that.
That's fair. I mean, she's also not like in Tokyo or anything. Like she does have stuff that she could probably get, but I don't know. It's not, again, it's not Tokyo. She's in Okinawa. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm sure she would send a care package. I found out that it's like shipping to the US because I sent her something and the shipping was domestic price. So
yeah, because she's difficult. She's at a base, right?
Or
something like that. Yeah. That's mainly why I had that thought.
Yeah.
Nice. So, when's the wedding?
I don't know.
Damn.
Like I mentioned, I got hip surgery 3 months ago, and I have to get the same surgery on my other hip in September. So, don't know.
Well, how is the recovery? I mean, it's shitty, I imagine, but recovering from that first one.
I feel like it was both not as bad and worse than I expected at the same time, which I don't know how to explain that. But like looking back on it, I'm like, wow, it's already been 3 months. Wow, I can walk now. That's weird. But also like I did live through that. Like I spent almost 4 days in the hospital and then could not walk, was on two crutches for weeks. And then got down to one crutch. Now I'm pretty much walking around without the crutches, but I still do one crutch every now and then. My hip hurts a lot all the time, but that's to be expected from not having walked on it for 3 months. But yeah, it's going. It's just one of those, like, I could cosplay at this point. I just don't want to because I can't move around the way I used to be able to because I'm still pretty limited in my range of motion just from pain. And then I'm still not walking without limping. So it's just one of those, like, I could, but I'd rather not. So.
Nice.
I'm getting there.
That's good. How's your cat?
Very cute. Very violent. She bites a lot.
Yeah. The last one of these I did, mine, when we got to like I think it was near an hour, Charlie just decided to like start screaming. Basically it was like you're done. Stop.
If I was at home right now, I can guarantee 100% Artemis would have jumped up and started attacking my arm within 5 minutes of this starting.
She's done that
while I've been on phone calls. I was talking to my sister the other day on the phone, and Artemis was like, I was playing fetch with her with a hair tie. And then I couldn't throw it because it was like too far away or something. And then she came up and just started viciously attacking my arm. And I was like trying to shoo her away. And my sister was like, what's going on? I was like, oh, my cat's attacking me. Don't worry about it.
Nice. Okay. I'm going to just hear now. I don't talk to you often, so like that's why I was kind of like just started asking stuff.
Yeah, I figured.
Because I mean, you know me, we like we communicate through memes and TikTok.
Pretty much, if at all. Yeah. And it'll be like once a month, if that. You'll be like, oh, yeah. Hey, here's this thing. Or I'll just send you cat videos. That's yeah. it. It's just cat that. Videos.
I love that. Yeah. No, because you're like one of those people that like, if I see in person, it's like right away. Like nothing, not really much time passed. So I don't feel a need to barrage you with random ass things.
Are you gonna go to ALA the next one?
The next one, yeah. I didn't go this past one. So I the one you last went to, I didn't go because I had COVID.
So did I.
Wait, what?
I didn't know I had it until the day of the convention. But yeah, I very much had COVID during that.
Wow. ALA.
I was sick, but who, like, come on. I'm sick at every ALA. Every single
ALA. Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair.
Like, I was like, it might not be. And then they had free COVID testing at ALA. So I went and did that on Sunday because I was like, I need to know and I need one for my boss. Because my fiance had it, but he didn't test positive until I was gone. So I was already like in California. He didn't go because he was positive. But I didn't start getting sick until like Friday of ALA or something like that. And then it was just like really bad after that. I started getting like really sick. I did avoid the convention for the most part. I was mostly just like outside with Courtney. We did some photo shoots and wandered around, but we definitely didn't go into the convention much because I was definitely sick the whole time.
Wow. That's funny. Yeah. But so that one, I did because of that, this past one, partly just like stuck up on me and I was like, I don't have the monies for this, so I just didn't go. So it's really weird missing two in a row, and especially now that it's a different venue. I feel like, yeah. I'm gonna go to it,
and
I'm
gonna be have you to that venue.
No, well, I've been to different conventions to Long Beach Comic Con, not at LA there. No, yeah.
It's interesting.
I know there's a pub across the street. I remember that. That place was nice. So probably go to there for the next ALA. Yeah, but besides that, I don't know anything. Huh?
I'm gonna try and go. Me and my fiance are gonna try to go to ALA next calendar year. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm gonna definitely try this time too. And then like, I'm never going to AX ever again. Probably.
Oh God, no.
That's a shit show.
I gave up on that years ago because I hated it so much.
Mm-hmm. I remember before the pandemic hit, I said 2018 was my last one, never going again. And some people I know were like, it's like, oh, let's all go together next year and that'll be our last one. And I was like, all right, that's fair. And then pandemic hit and I'm just like, I'm never going again, I guess. 'Cause, yeah. God.
Courtney was messaging me about anime. She's been trying to convince me to watch Bibliophile Princess. It's a isekai.
I figured, but, like, I mean, the name would fit a sentence of a bookworm, probably.
Yes, but not child. It's more of a romance, but same vibes because isekai.
Yeah, isekai and sounds like books.
Yeah, I think from what I remember seeing about it, because I wanted to watch it, I didn't know it was out yet, and also it's on HIDIVE and not Crunchyroll. Apparently Courtney was pirating it, so she didn't even notice. But I use Crunchyroll, and I just got access to HIDIVE from a friend of mine like a couple days ago because I asked. And so I'll watch it. I just haven't yet. But I think the premise of it is essentially that this girl gets isekai'd and then does not care about anything except for books. And I think she gets married to this guy, or at least engaged, and just gets like a library. I think it's basically Beauty and the Beast, but without the Beast. Oh. It's just Belle really liking books, but it's an isekai. That's my understanding. I haven't watched it though, so I don't know if that's it.
That's great.
Yeah.
That really does sound like a sentence of a bookworm. Wow.
Yeah. I think less books, more romance, but it is definitely a sentence of a bookworm vibes. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm caught up on that. I don't know.
I feel like that too, but then because I watch, so I have a Plex. I don't know if you know, it's like a web server, and so a friend's cousin like updates it and puts a bunch of pirated shit on there, and that's how I watch stuff like anime and stuff. But so I watched everything on there, but someone mentioned something, and I'm like, oh, I haven't seen that, so I don't think I'm caught up. So, but I don't know, maybe I just missed something.
I think I'm caught up, but my anime list says I'm at 6 out of 10 for the most recent season. And I was like, I could have sworn that I finished the season. So it might, I might not have ever updated my anime list, but mm-hmm. I don't know. Too lazy to check. So, who knows?
I regret not starting one of those in 2011 when I was told I should.
I am obsessive about keeping track of what I've watched because I'm the type of person who will forget. Mm-hmm. Also because I like giving people recommendations, but I'm really bad at the, oh, what do you recommend? I don't know what I've watched. So right, I'll scroll through my anime list. I did that recently to someone because they just got into anime, and I literally filled their list with like 30 different anime. One of my friends looked at it and went, I don't think I've even watched that many anime. And I went, dude, this is the highlight reel. And I left off a bunch because she's new to anime. I was like, if you want more of this, come and ask. Like, if there's anything on here you like and you want more, I can give you more. I'm just giving you, like, the starter pack. And, like, because I guess I'm just the one in the friend group who watches the most anime.
Nice. What was some of them in the starter pack?
Definitely Fullmetal Alchemist, Brotherhood. And I very specifically, like, put in parentheses, only watch Brotherhood. Do not watch the one that doesn't have Brotherhood. And then
I have a shitty take on that because I like the ending of the other one. I don't know why.
I did watch the original one, and I vaguely remember it, but Brotherhood is just a lot better, in my opinion, and so I haven't rewatched the mm-hmm. original the way that I've rewatched Brotherhood, so I'm just like, just watch Brotherhood. And then I know I put Violet Evergarden on there because I like to watch other people suffer. And then
yeah, that's what I figured. Because I was like, I was about to say, didn't you like fucking, I remember you you cried on that.
So. I have watched it multiple times, and I can tell you the reason for crying is episode 10 specifically. Like, other episodes are also sad, which will also make me cry because I'm a baby, but specifically episode 10, that's where it's brutal, and I still like vividly remember it. Like, I don't remember any order of events in anything, but I know episode 10 is that specific storyline because it was that like memorable. Other shows I put on the list, I think, I know I put Happy Sugar Life, and I think I put Future Diary, because I was like, how do you feel about women who kill people because they like the significant other, essentially? And she was like, yeah, sure, cool. And I don't remember what else I put on there. I went down my whole anime list. I know I put Assassination Classroom. I think I put Soul Eater. I think I put Banana Fish. If I didn't put something, somebody else tended to, because they're just like big popular ones. And I was like, should I put this? And they're like, yes. And I was like, okay, cool. Uh-huh. So there's a lot.
So Future Diaries, when that came out, when everybody went nuts for Squid Game, mm-hmm. I was like, this is a mid anime. This is,
oh, yeah, why is
everybody, I was just so like,
better death games than that, like,
yeah,
dude, is a better death game than that, and it's not even technically a death game.
Yeah, exactly. So I was just like so fucking confused why everyone was going nuts over it. You know, I was like, it's just
it was popular among people who, one, don't watch K dramas, and two, don't watch anime.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I got there eventually, but like my initial reaction was just like, I don't get it. Yeah.
But it's because the only other death game experience anybody in mainstream had was Hunger Games.
Hunger Games. Yeah, that's true.
And that's nothing compared to Squid Game. Uh-huh. So that's why.
And I also found out some people watched the dub of that, and
ew.
Hell. Yeah. That was, I
No.
I've been watching a lot of dubbed anime lately because I literally cannot sit through watching subtitles.
But dubbed anime nowadays is much better.
Yes.
There's certain voice actors that I don't like, so I don't. I try to avoid those. Their voices just isn't for me. It's just like, ugh, I can't take it.
Yeah, I definitely have those. I watched all of Bleach dubbed, and it was literally painful. I have not watched Thousand Year Blood War arc, but
watching all of Bleach in general is painful because you get to the Bount arc and you want to. Oh, well, that's why.
I skipped all filler because I have run into that arc before because I tried to watch Bleach 3 separate times, got to that arc and dropped it. So I very specifically on this rewatch had a list open on my phone for months of just filler for Bleach, skipped all of it.
That arc is like 100 something episodes in, so yeah. I watched up to that and then I got to that and I fucking stopped. It's terrible. Or
something. It's like episode 60 yeah. to 90 somewhere in there, because I remember the first time I quit it was around episode 80 and it was, yeah. It was in the Bound arc, so
like the fact that it was so terrible that it made me stop watching after I was so invested, like
that's exactly what happened to me too. It was, yeah, that arc is really bad, so I very specifically skipped all the filler. But yeah, the dub was not good, especially like Orihime, hurt to listen to, and it didn't really get better. Like it kind of did because the graphics got better, time went on, like it was a long show. But yeah, it was always fairly bad, to be honest. But I'm also not really in a long-running shonen type of a headspace anymore, so.
Oh really?
I don't know. Wait. There's just something about
it. You watch One Piece?
I technically still do, but I haven't watched it in like 2 years. So I'm probably, I think the last episode I watched was like episode 1002 or 1001. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was a while ago.
Yeah, at least 2 years.
I'm going to let you go.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for this. I'll let you know when it goes up. So it's going to be up on like, you know, like Spotify and on like the Apple podcast, whatever the fuck it is, all the podcasts. But then there's also going to be a video version on my YouTube channel. So
I figured that was the case, which is why I was like pointing like that.
All right, cool. Thanks.
See ya. See you.